In this module, we will deal with income which is chargeable to tax as property income from a UK property business. A UK property business is a business which a person carries on for generating income from land in the UK. So, property income from a UK property business includes rents from properties in the UK. For example, if a taxpayer lets out a house or flat and receives rental income, that income falls to be taxed as property income from a UK property business. We will deal with property income from an overseas property business in the next session. Property income also covers income from such sources as shooting and fishing rights. For instance, if a taxpayer owns a piece of land which is let out to a gun club for clay pigeon shooting, or if a taxpayer owns part of a river and sells fishing permits to anglers, such income is taxed as property income. Premiums on leases are also taxed as property income. A lease is a right to occupy land for a specified period of time. So if a taxpayer owns a property and he grants a lease to another taxpayer in return for a payment of cash called a premium, that premium is chargeable to tax as property income. We will look at lease premiums in a later session. In this module, we are mainly concerned with calculating the taxable property income profit. To do this, we apply normal commercial accounting principles, which, for those who know a little about accounts, means that we will use the accruals basis. This concept means that we do not simply take cash in minus cash out to give us a cash profit. The accruals basis involves taking rents receivable, not rents received. Note the difference here. Receivable means the rents that relate to a tax year, which is not necessarily the same as the rents physically received in cash. From rents receivable, we deduct any allowable expenses payable. Again, note the use of the word payable rather than the word paid. Payable means expenses that relate to the tax year, and this may not necessarily be equal to the cash physically spent. Rents receivable minus expenses payable gives us the taxable property income profit, or in some cases the loss, for the year. Property income computations are always prepared for a tax year, i.e. from April to April. Expenses are deductible from rents only if those expenses are incurred wholly and exclusively for the business of the letting. So examples of deductible expenses will include agents' fees and commissions, and genuine repair expenses. By genuine repairs, we mean we exclude any expenditure of a capital nature, i.e. any expenditure that improves or enhances the value of our property. So, for example, if a tenant breaks a window and the landlord repairs that window, that is a genuine repair, and the costs can be deducted from rents. Repairing a broken window has not enhanced the value of the property. However, instead of simply repairing some broken roof tiles, the landlord takes the opportunity to replace his whole roof, there is obviously some degree of improvement here, and the costs will not be deductible. Any water rates or council tax paid by the landlord are deductible expenses, as is any interest paid on a loan taken out to purchase the property in the first place. An exception to the rule that capital improvements are not deductible is the landlord's energy saving allowance. This allows a deduction of up to £1,500 in relation to the installation of loft insulation or cavity wall insulation in a let dwelling house. Many property purchases are funded by way of mortgages, and if the property is subsequently let out, the mortgage interest is an allowable deduction. Lastly, any insurance paid by the landlord is also deductible. In practice, you will find that the landlord will usually be responsible for paying the building's insurance, but any contents insurance tends to be the tenant's responsibility. In essence, any expense which is genuinely incurred for the purpose of the letting should be deductible from rents receivable to arrive at the profit or loss. The above list is by no means definitive, and in practice you will take a view as to what expenses are allowable or not. Returning to the concept of the accruals basis to determine taxable rents, we need to work out the income and expenses that relate to our particular tax year. Assume a taxpayer starts to let out a property on the 1st of October 2010. He charges his tenant rents of £6,000 per annum, and all of these rents are due for payment in advance on the 1st of October 2010. So, on that date, the landlord receives £6,000. The question is, how much of that £6,000 is taxable in 2010-11? Quite clearly, the rents received in 2010-11 are £6,000. However, the tenant's rents of £6,000 covers the period from the 1st of October 2010 to the 30th of September 2011. So this £6,000 payment relates to this particular 12-month period, which is not the same as our tax year. So, to work out how much of the £6,000 falls into 2010-11, we simply do a time apportionment. And you will see that 6/12, i.e. half of the £6,000, that is £3,000, relates to 2010-11. The other £3,000 will be taxed next year, i.e. in 2011-12. This is a vitally important principle as far as property income is concerned, as we must always tax rents receivable, as in this example, rather than rents actually received. The accruals basis applies in the same way for expenses. So, what we deduct from our rents are expenses payable, and not expenses paid. Expenses payable are expenses that relate to our particular tax year. Sometimes a landlord will incur expenses which relate to and cover a 12-month period. The most common example of this is buildings insurance, which is paid in advance to cover the forthcoming 12 months. A landlord may pay a buildings insurance premium on, say, the 1st of August 2010, to cover the period from that date until the 31st of July 2011. Therefore, for property income purposes, we need to apportion these expenses into the relevant tax year. To illustrate this principle, assume a landlord pays his buildings insurance premiums in advance on the 30th of June each year. On the 30th of June 2009, he paid a premium of £600. 1 year later, on the 30th of June 2010, he paid buildings insurance of £800. So, when putting together the property income computation for 2010-11, we need to ask ourselves, how much can we deduct by way of expenses? The amount of cash physically spent in 2010-11 is the buildings insurance of £800. However, remember that expenses are not deducted when they are paid. They are deducted when they are payable. Looking at the buildings insurance, the premium of £600 paid on the 30th of June 2009 covers the period up until the end of June 2010. This means that 3/12 of the £600, i.e. £150, relates to the tax year 2010-11 and is therefore deductible in 2010-11. On the 30th of June 2010, the landlord pays a further buildings insurance premium of £800. This will cover him until the 30th of June 2011. So of this payment, 9 months, i.e. 9/12 of the £800, i.e. £600, relates to 2010-11 and can be deducted in 2010-11. So, as far as the buildings insurance is concerned, the deductible expenses for 2010-11 is £150 plus £600, which equals £750. In the case of certain expenses, it may not always be possible to identify the period to which the expenses relate. Where this is the case, it is acceptable to take a deduction for expenses as and when they are paid. Although not strictly correct, this is rarely questioned by the revenue. Another important expense of which we should be aware is the wear and tear allowance. Wear and tear allowances are only available in respect of furnished lettings. The allowances are essentially compensation given to the landlord for the dilapidation of any furniture employed within the property. There is a standard formula for calculating the wear and tear allowance. This is 10% of the accrued rents, less any water rates, and less any council tax borne by the landlord. If the landlord does not wish to claim wear and tear allowances, there is an alternative called the renewals basis. Under the renewals basis, the landlord cannot claim a deduction for the initial costs of any furniture he buys, but as and when the furniture is replaced, the costs of the replacements can be included as allowable expenses. Landlords must adopt either one basis or another. They cannot chop and change between wear and tear allowances and the renewals basis as and when it suits them. In practice, you will find that your clients will generally prefer the wear and tear allowance, largely because landlords aren't known for replacing furniture on a regular basis. We will now put all of this together and run through an illustrative example. Roger lets out a property to a tenant, Sally. The property is furnished. Roger charges rents of £12,000 per annum, payable monthly in advance. So each month, Sally pays £1,000. Roger increased the rents to £15,000 per annum with effect from the 1st of January 2011. This works out to be £1,250 each month. Roger, the landlord, has some expenses in the year as per your screen. The total expenses paid by Roger in the year are £16,950. These include interest on a loan to buy the property, repairs to the roof, the costs of a new garage, cavity wall insulation, water rates, council tax, and a building's insurance premium paid in advance on the 1st of October 2010 of £600. On the 1st of October 2009, Roger paid a building's insurance premium of £500. Our requirement here is to calculate Roger's property income, profit or loss for 2010-11. We start with the rents receivable in the tax year. Sally paid rents of £1,000 per month until the 31st of December 2010. As such, she would have paid 9 lots of £1,000, being £9,000. The rents were increased to £1,250 per month for January, February and March 2011, making a total of £3,750, to give Roger total rents receivable for the tax year of £12,750. From this, we deduct expenses payable for 2010-11. The loan interest is allowable, as are the repairs to the roof. We have no reason from the question to assume these are anything other than genuine repairs, so we will allow them. Roger spent £10,000 on a new garage for the property. This is not deductible, as it will constitute capital expenditure, as the new structure will enhance the value of Roger's property. Remember that capital expenditure is not deductible. An exception to the rule that capital expenditure is not allowable is the landlord's energy saving allowance. Under this allowance, the cavity wall insulation will be deductible. The water rates and council tax are deductible, as is the building's insurance. However, as the insurance premiums are paid in advance on the 1st of October each year, we need to do an apportionment to work out how much of the expenses relate to 2010-11. Here, we would take half of the 2009 payment and half of the 2010 payment, giving us a deduction of £550. As we are told the property is furnished, we must make sure we remember to deduct the wear and tear allowance. This is the rent, less water rates, less council tax, multiplied by 10%. You will see here that that gives us an allowance of £1,200. Roger's total deductible expenses come out to be £8,100. The accrued rents minus the allowable expenses leave Roger with a property income profit of £4,650. This will be taxed in 2010-11 as non-savings income.